So would you like to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1? So it's very close to that reading which we had. If you're not terribly familiar, if you just turn back in your Bibles. Here's Hebrews chapter 1. And I'll just read a few verses from the first chapter. It reads like this: in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And I'm just concentrating for a few moments this morning on these very first words. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, if you didn't know it, I'll tell you, it is central to true Christianity that the God of the Bible may be known. It is possible to be intimate with him. It is possible to be acquainted with him. It is possible to have personal experience of him. In fact, it's at the very heart of Christ coming that we might know God. It is for this reason that the Bible says God is not far from any one of us. Now, isn't that a wonderful thought? God is not far from any one of us. It's also the truth that God is more willing to be known than we are to know him, and that is because of our sinfulness. He is much more willing to be known by us than we are to know him. Our sin keeps us away from him. And it would be a cruel God who asked all men to seek him, promising that they would find him, if in fact that was an impossibility. But God does invite people to seek him. For if you should seek me with all of your heart, you shall truly find me. And it must be said to everyone always, the only reason that people do not find the Lord is that they do not seek him with all of their hearts. In fact, we can say that God's offers of finding him are entirely bona fide. They are entirely sincere because his promises are good. He's good to his word. And that's what I want to speak on for a few moments. He's good to his word. God speaks. And there it is. You have it right in front of you, the first verse. God speaks. He's not silent. The God of the Bible is someone who speaks. I have no hesitation in saying to you that the gods of man's fabrication and invention do not speak because they're dead. They can't possibly speak. And it should be a precious thing to anyone who opens their Bible or thinks that they're a Christian or understands Christianity that God speaks. And I repeat this, no hesitation in saying that all the gods of man's fabrication are silent. Of course they're silent because they don't even exist. Everything about the God of the Bible that commends himself to us is like this. He communicates with us. He is a God who is there and he is not silent. I remember this being a big issue when I was a young student amongst other students. The idea that the God of the Bible communicates with us. He speaks. So here is the first verse. And you'll notice if you look at it, it is personalized. If you look at the text, God spoke to our ancestors. It was a specific revelation to their ancestors, to the people of Israel. He was not speaking to the world. It is an extraordinary thing, this, that God was not addressing the other nations. He was speaking only to the people of Israel. Verbal revelation came to that people. He communicated with them. He communicated with utterances, with questions, with promises, with commands. But it was spoken by his own person, or it was spoken, as we read, by prophets. He had spokesmen. And if you think about it, what a privilege that the God of heaven should communicate with his creatures, that he should not be silent. And imagine the great privilege for Israel and all the other nations looking up into the blackness of space. And think of it this morning for yourself, that if you look up into the blackness of space and yet you have never heard the voice of God speaking to your heart. In the past, God spoke, the text says, to our ancestors. And the word which he spoke was certain and absolutely clear. Listen to this. These are the words which God said when he appointed Jeremiah the prophet. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So although the nations had no voice of God, he sent prophets with his word to them. So all of you know about Jonah, who went to Nineveh and said to them, repent, I've come as a prophet of God. God sends me to you to urge you to repentance. God said to Jeremiah, I shall command you and you shall speak. I have put my words in your mouth. Don't doubt the words of the prophets. It was the very word of God in their mouths. So the prophet, he was a seer, he was a hearer. He was the recipient of divine revelation. The people could hear the voice of God. They knew that God was speaking to them. And whatever else the prophets spoke of, let me tell you this, and they spoke of many things. At the very highest point, they spoke about the coming Messiah of Jesus Christ. They had no more important task. And when I opened the service this morning, I read from Matthew 1 verse 23, it was exactly as the prophets had said. And so, if you were to trace it in the Old Testament, they spoke of his birth, they spoke of his death, they spoke of his life, they spoke of his resurrection and his ascension, they spoke of his glory, they spoke of the coming kingdom of God. And those of you who come here to celebrate the Lord's table every other week, you will know that I read from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel. But it is the prophecy of Jeremiah, that new covenant which is in the blood of Christ, was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. And I would just caution everyone with regard to verbal communication and revelation from God. The entirety of the Old Testament is the verbal revelation of God. You can trust it. Most of you won't know this, but I'll tell you anyway. That the whole of the book of Hebrews that I'm reading this verse from, the entirety of it, not parts of it, but the entirety of it, is entirely based upon the Old Testament. It is the verification of the authenticity of the voice of God in that whole Old Testament record. So it's the disclosure of the mind of God, and what a wonderful thing. And while I don't urge people to start reading their Bibles at Genesis, I always urge them to start reading at Mark's Gospel and try to read the New Testament. But the entirety of the Old Testament is the disclosure of the mind of God. You may know that he is speaking. But of course, as you read the text, you can't fail to grasp how it reads. How does it read? In the past, God spoke. In other words, what God used to do, he no longer does. What he used to do is exactly what the text says. He used to speak through prophets. This was his former way of working. Remember the Apostle Peter? He tells us it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through the prophets. I read it to you. Ah, but Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will be with you in the church when he leaves it. There's no need for the voices of prophets anymore, not when the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit speaks with his own voice through the Word of God. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He will abide with you forever. The whole point is that God's way of speaking has now changed. He doesn't use human voices. It's not theophanies, it's not visions, it's not dreams, it's not angelic announcements or the very voice of God. No, that's what's meant by various ways. You look at the text. He spoke in various ways, angelic visions, and the rest. Of course he did. But in these last days he has spoken through his Son. And I always say to people who would like there to be prophets today and the like, would you really like to hear a man's voice or would you like to hear the voice of Jesus? Well, I give you the choice. What do you want? Do you want the voice of Jesus or do you want the voice of a man? And of course, it's not difficult for us to choose. He has a vastly superior way, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. I want to hear the voice of Jesus. Of course, to Israel, God was the one who spoke to them. He was their deliverer. His interests were with them. But only until the Messiah should come. Until the Messiah should be brought out of Israel. And then, of course, it becomes obvious that God is interested in communicating with the nations, with the world. He came to save the nations. Before, it's deliberately limited. When God brings his Son into the world, it's the whole race. That's what John 3:16 means. It's all of the nations, not the nation of Israel, but every nation. He will speak in living tones to everyone. That includes you. Why would you exclude yourself and not want to hear the voice of God? God sends his Son to speak to us. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. Just imagine how many people will be celebrating Christmas this year. And yet the vast majority will never hear the voice of Jesus. His words, his teaching, his thoughts will never come into the minds of the vast majority of people. Christmas could really have Mickey Mouse or Pinocchio as its head, and it wouldn't make any difference. I mean it. Ah, but if the voice of Jesus should just once break through into our hearts, into our minds, what a voice that will be. And that is what I want to say to you this morning. Let the voice of Jesus rise up above a worldly Christmas and let his voice speak to us. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast, is what the hymn writer said, because he was wanting to personalize. I heard the voice of Jesus say. He can offer all the answers for life, and he can offer all the answers for death, and he can offer all of the answers for eternity. The hymn writer says, he speaks. And listening to his voice, new life, the dead receive. The broken, mournful hearts rejoice, the humble, poor believe. That's how Charles Wesley saw it personally. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life, the dead receive. And if this Christmas you would listen to the voice of Jesus, he will speak tenderly, he will speak comfort, he will speak graciously. He will give all of the answers. He never flatters us. He tells us the truth. He never speaks with equivocation. Never. Never with ambiguity. Always with certainty. And you will know for sure that he is speaking to you. He always hits the mark. Always bang on just at the right time. just when we most need to hear his voice. And I'm fond of saying this in this church. It's not the voice of this church. We're not selling that. We have no interest in that. We're interested to communicate and tell you about the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no one in all the world like him. He sent him to be the living word. I want to hear his voice, and I want it to rise above every other. So if you read the Bible, even in a small way, try to trace out him. I know there are many things that you can find in the scriptures. Oh, but he said himself, these are the scriptures that speak of me. If you read your Bible, trace out the Lord Jesus Christ. Identify him above everyone else. And then ask him, give me the ears. Give me the will. Open my heart. Break my stubbornness, Lord. And help me to listen to you. Now, we all know what it's like to talk to someone and they're not listening to us. There might be some of you like that this morning. You're not really listening. I don't know. But we've all done it. I've done it. Someone's talking to me and I'm not really listening. My mother used to have this thing with my dad. I remember it. My mother's name is Ivy. I remember it as a child. She'd say, "Talk to your son, Ivy," when she was talking to my dad. "Talk to your son, Ivy." We all do it. Hopefully it's not fatal. But to not hear the voice of Jesus is fatal. It is fatal. Make sure in your life that you have heard his voice. The gift of God revealing himself in Christ is that we might have possession of him. The gift of God revealing Christ is that we might have possession of him. I can know him. I can be my saviour, my friend. It can be in my heart and in my life. And lead me on a daily basis. And never leave me nor forsake me. And take me out of this life and into death and into eternity. The birth of Jesus is announced the way it is so that we can understand that God's verbal revelation has come to man in the form of Christ. Someone will say, well, doesn't Romans chapter 1 tell us that the whole creation speaks? Yes, the whole creation speaks, but now I need God himself to come to me and speak to me. And with God, everything is possible. And it is possible for you to move out of a place where God is not known and he's entirely silent to you. You've never heard his voice speaking in his word. And now he comes and he speaks in his word. And you hear him distinctly, as if it is exactly to you. Not an audible voice, not an angelic voice, not a prophetic voice, but him speaking through the truth of his word. And so he speaks love. He speaks peace. He speaks justification. He speaks sanctification. He speaks judgment. He speaks of condemnation. It is his voice that speaks, and when he speaks, it will be better than any voice that you have ever heard. One of the things I love about knowing the God of the Bible is he's not secretive. He wants to tell me everything about himself. And so with the little life that I've got, I want to know everything I can know about him. With this bit of life, eternity will offer me something else. But now on this side, I want to know everything about him. So I want to listen to his voice. And the way I'll hear his voice speaking is through his word. So you all know me. My big thing is always urging people to read the Bible. Always. I know that we live in a time where people aren't great readers, but I'm urging people to read their Bibles, because Jesus is found in the Word of God, and you'll hear him speaking to me. Just a quick word of personal testimony. As a young man, I was an unbeliever. I was not a Christian. I did not read the Bible. I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the summer of 1972, I came under great sense of conviction of my own sin. So I've lived a life not being a believer. And during that summer, because of course the Lord Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict of sin. So he's the one who came to convict my soul of my sin. But then I needed someone to come and tell me the words of Jesus. This is what you find in the Pilgrim's Progress, isn't it? The evangelist comes and he speaks the words. And so my uncle came, who was a true Christian. And he said to me, "What is your trouble?" And I said, "My trouble is my sin. I can find no answer for it." And he said to me, "The Lord Jesus Christ has promised that whoever puts their faith in him, their hope in him, they'll never be ashamed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And I said, "Then I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And he saved me by his grace. What more can I say? His words have that power. This is it. He was born at Bethlehem to reveal God to us so that we could know him, not be apart from him. At the carol service, these are my very last words now, at the carol service, I read the verses from John's Gospel, and I read them to you once more. No one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is at the Father's side has revealed him. I don't need somebody third hand revealing Jesus to me, telling me what God says as a prophet or a seer or a dreamer. I only need the Lord Jesus. He's the revealer. And I'm listening to his voice. His voice booms out with love and kindness and grace and mercy to everyone who would listen to him. I beg you this morning, listen to him. If he has been revealed to you, perhaps you might share with someone this Christmas what it is that you know of him. If indeed you do know him. May we all know him. God be gracious to every one of our lives. And bless this Christmas time to us. Amen.